Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And I think we'll start off this with some questions. And one of them is very pertinent. So Dallo Spicer is a Valiant fan, hardcore Valiant fan. And he asked me a question. What if you bought a run of comics, but after reading the first one, if you don't enjoy it, will you persevere with the rest of it, or just never read them again? I will read the series, because I have, just like with TV, I have watched first episodes and read first comic books that, they might have not struck my fancy, but they turned out to be remarkable. I'll give you two examples of that on the TV. One of them was Umbrella Academy. I watched the first episode. I didn't like it. And I persevered and I watched them all. And with each episode, I loved it more and more. The same thing happened with Black Summer. Didn't care for the first episode too much. Watched it all, fell in love with it. The Umbrella Academy, I actually spent a boatload too, obtaining all of the appearances of the Umbrella Academy, which I just bought, and I have them all in hand now. But they weren't cheap because of the TV show and because of where they are now. And the second season has been renewed. I absolutely loved it so much, I wanted the comics. And I never bought the comics. I never thought to buy the comics. So, the same thing with The End of the Fucking World. And that is the title of it, except they go end of the F, asterisk, pound, dollar sign, ING, by Charles Forsman. I never read the comic, even though I had read every Charles Forsman book except for this. This property, comic book wise, is a small hardcover about the size of one of those used to like flip comics back in the day where you'd flip it. It'd have comics and then you flip the corners and you can make an animation from it. That's kind of like the format of this. It was a very tiny book, but it was really expensive. And I watched the TV show first. I didn't like the first one. I even told my co-host, Bill Bomer, I don't think I'm going to continue. I stuck with it, absolutely fell in love with it. That happened with Black Summer as well. That's not related to comics. On the comic side, I could think of a couple of things. Avengers, I actually stopped buying it because... why am I not thinking of his name? Jonathan Hickman's writing was not working for me. I just come off reading Jonathan Hickman's Fantastic Four. Absolutely adored it. But when he took over Avengers, it worked for Fantastic Four because to me, Reed is very shallow. Like he doesn't have like a personality. But when the Avengers book came, none of them had personalities to me, and it was driving me crazy. But the story was so epic, and I didn't catch on to it, and so I stopped buying it. I stopped it. I got like three issues in. I stopped buying it. I had three more months of stuff in, and then I read those three more months, and then like adored it. And then I had to go to my comic shop and purchase the rest of it. And it was like in three titles. It was like Avengers World, Avengers, and another title. I can't remember the other title. And I had to own it all. I just freaking loved it. One of them dealt with the Illuminati. And I can't think of what the title of it was. But, man, it was a good. So that was one example. Now, I'm at a point now in my life where I could find something good in almost any comic you throw at me. I really can. And I don't know why that is. I think it's because there's so much crap going on in the world. And There's a lot of stuff that happens to people, family, and friends, and you sort of realize what is important, and it's not entertainment. Entertainment is supposed to be entertained, so I don't take anything so damn critical anymore. Like, to me, it's ridiculous to be complaining about something that's entertainment or waste my effort when there's so much more other things to waste my time on. The world is not ending because I don't like Batman. I'll fight. I persevere through Batman. I don't like Tom King's Batman, but to me, it's history, and for DC in particular, I need to know that history. I need to know it. That's just my mentality. I want to know the good, the bad, and the ugly. I've always been that way, especially of late. I want to know all of it. I don't want to like not know a part of Batman because I didn't experience it. On the other side, I want to experience everything for myself. I trust no one. There is no one that I trust in terms of entertainment to tell me, go see this movie, you're going to enjoy it, or go see this comic, you're going to enjoy it or not like it. I have to experience it for myself. And I am fortunate enough. If I wasn't fortunate enough where I could buy all these things that I buy or go to all the movies that I want to go to, then I would be looking to people, because then I would say, oh, I can only afford 10 comic books a month. I want to try to listen to some podcasts. I want to try to find somebody who has similar tastes. And I want to try to maximize those 10 comic books and make sure I'm choosing the right ones. But in my frame of mind, I can choose what I want when I want and just read it. And I enjoy that. So that was a good question, Dallo. We have Glenn Clark says, when getting ready for a comic convention, what influences your decision on what books you look for to possibly obtain? Nothing really. I don't go to conventions for any goals anymore, and it's gotten worse with every year. I used to take reports with me saying target this book, and I don't do this at all anymore. I do whatever strikes my eye at the convention. I don't go with a plan to finish a series. I don't go with anything like I'm gonna pick up art from this dealer or anything. It's just sort of like spur of the moment, just enjoy myself as I'm there. But why I'm really going is my friends are there. That's why I go. I could care less about the comics, to tell you the truth. The comics are a bonus, and I do like going through boxes and seeing what I don't have. So I tend to know what I have, even though it's a lot. 70,000 plus comics. I sort of know what I have, so I'll like pick something obscure, like some independent publisher, or I know I don't have a first appearance of Wolverine, or I know I don't have a whole bunch of Golden Age books. That's what I'll usually target. I don't usually take a list or anything, so that's I don't really prepare at all. It's kind of like how I prepare for podcasts. I don't prepare at all. I don't. And I feel more relaxed about the whole situation, to tell you the truth. Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit, one of the podcasts I listen to, says, you still watch all the comic book TV shows? I think so. I'm all caught up on Krypton. I'm 1 year behind on Gotham, but I have it on the to-do list. Riverdale, I'm still watching. I'm not all caught up. Supergirl, I'm on the process of getting caught up for. Arrow, I was almost caught up on. I can never be caught up. But I am within a year of all of the titles. Walking Dead, I'm caught up on. Fear the Walking Dead just started. Krypton, I'm all caught up on. Umbrella Academy, all caught up on. All the CW shows I still have to catch up on, but I am watching them. Trying to think of some of the other shows. I am really behind on the Netflix Marvel series. I think the last one I watched was the second Daredevil. Haven't watched Luke Cage, Iron Fist. Only the first Jessica Jones I watched. Defenders I haven't watched. So I have all that stuff I need to get into. Watchmen starting up. I plan on watching that as well. And I don't know what else. So I see fire in the neighbor's backyard. I don't like it. He's probably burning loose trees, but that bothers me. So I think I'm gonna turn on the sprinklers just to be safe in case there's ash that goes over. I'll go do that as soon as I'm done with this. But where was I? I lost track of what I was doing. Yeah, I don't love them all. I love most of them. I love is a strong word. Umbrella Academy I loved. Gotham I love. Krypton I loved. Some of the others I like quite a bit. I love Legends of Tomorrow. That is just like awesome fun. Chris Pfeiffer, I don't think he's ever asked a question, so this is a new question. He said, first few comics I owned were read hundreds of times before I started buying regularly. I still go back to them occasionally. Do you have any comics like that? Yes, but they're not the original ones. They are comics that I either got to the dump from my father. Most of them are that way. Or I bought early on and traded them away, because that's how I got comics, is I'd read them and then trade them. But like Defenders, the Sons of the Serpent issues, I've read those maybe like 25 times, and they struck me as awesome back then. And then Sergeant Rocks that I read when I was a kid and traded them away. Now I have all the issues that I had back then, and I've read them at least two, three times. I have so many comic books that I don't reread a lot. But as you can tell from listening to the episode, like I was rereading Birds of Prey, and I'm gonna be reading Manhunter, the Kate Spencer Manhunter. So I do reread series. So thank you for the questions, and I will go quickly over some books that just came in. I got a Inferno City. It's actually Inferno Motor City Firehouse. It's about firemen, and my dad was a fireman, so it was important for me to get this series and this Kickstarter. I was really happy to see that they're doing a book about firemen. And then these are books that I got from Aaron Myers, who was on Collector's Corner, Mike M's Collector's Corner, and he sells comic books on Facebook. I got Fantastic Four 140. This is probably a find a very fine comic book on my grade. It's one issue that I was missing. I got X-Men number 36. It was an issue I was missing. I missed a lot of X-Men. I've told people in the past, I was never a fan of the X-Men early on. So I missed a lot of the Claremont years. I missed a lot of those comic books and never really felt the need to go back and get them until fairly recently. So a lot of these you'll see as me trying to fill in the Claremont run. This is an issue that's really important to me. It's X-Men number 95. I owned a coverless copy of this story, and it was missing like four pages, but it's the death of Thunderbird, and I still have that issue with no cover and missing pages. But we got it from the garbage dump. My dad took me over to get a copy of the comic book, and absolutely loved it. So yeah, it's very special to me, because I have always loved Thunderbird, and this had him. We then got X-Men number 98. So I wonder if this one is a key or not. I'm going to bring it up, because I don't memorize these issues, especially in X-Men, because I'm not very A lot of these have keys. A lot of these that I got are keys. So number 98 is versus the Sentinels, but it's no key issue. And then 100 is just an iconic key cover. It's the old X-Men versus the new X-Men. One of my favorite covers. Number 102 is a Juggernaut battle. It's the origin of Storm and versus Juggernaut and Black Tom. We have 103, which is also a continuation of that story versus Black Tom and Juggernaut. We have 105, which just features Phoenix on the cover, Phoenix alone against the most fearsome foe of all, and it has the Fire Lord. We have 107. 107 is the first appearance of the Starjammers, the first appearance of Gladiator 2, the first appearance of Fang, the first appearance of Chode, the first appearance of Oracle, the first appearance of Starbolt, the first appearance of Titan, the first appearance of Hezabah, the first appearance of Ra'Za, the first appearance of Shapeshifter, and also has a Reed Richards and Things cameo. And so it's pretty much the Starjammers, a key issue there. We have 111, which is versus Mesmero. It also has Arcade on the cover. And we have 120, which is the first appearance of Alpha Flight. Or the ca first appearance of Alpha Flight cameo. I already have the first appearance of Alpha Flight full appearance. That's in issue 121. We have 122, which is the first appearance of the Hellfire Club. So got that one. I have to enter these into the database still. We have 125, which is the first appearance of Proteus, Kevin McTaggart. We have 129, the first appearance of Donald Pierce, the first appearance of Kitty Pryde, that's a big one for me. The first appearance of Sprite 2, which is Kitty Pryde, that was another name she used. The first appearance of the White Queen, Emma Frost. So yeah, that's a big issue. A big key for me personally, because it's got two of my favorite X-Men. 132 is the first appearance of Hugh Hefner in comics. That's important. Playboy guy, Hugh Hefner. We have 133, which is the first appearance of Dark Phoenix and the first appearance of Senator Edward Kelly. So the next one we got is 137 that I got, which is the Death of Dark Phoenix. We have this one is important. 141, a whole movie was made about it. This is the first appearance of Katherine Pryde, the first appearance of Rachel Summers, the first appearance of Avalanche. The series. This is when the series continues in Uncanny X-Men 2, in the bottom. First appearance of Pyro. This is the God, I can't even think of this. This is when Wolverine goes into the future. I can't think of the story arc. Oh, Days of Future Past. Thank God. So this is a very important issue. 142 is a, I think, a continuation of Days of Future Past, which is included. The title actually changes name in the indices to Uncanny X-Men officially, and that's where my database jumps, because it takes that indices as the Bible. And Uncanny X-Men continued with 142, and that was the death of Colossus, the death of Storm, and the death of Wolverine in the future, the continuation of that story arc. And that's it for the X-Men. And then I had Umbrella Academy 1 through 6, the final series, which is called Umbrella Academy. It was called The Hotel Oblivion. So that's all I'm going to talk about now. And also, I bought at Walgreens, they had a Marvel Legends action figure exclusive. One of my favorite characters, Medusa. So I had to buy that because I love that character. So that's what I have to say. And I will be back with Mike M's Weekly Reads, and I will talk to you very soon. Bye-bye. Welcome back to Mike M's Weekly Reads. And instead of going into the books that I'm going to cover, I wanted to talk about some stuff that's happened recently. Some more arrivals arrived too, by the way. I picked up Weapon Brown. I got this from Amazon. I was listening to 11 O'Clock Comics, and it sounded like a post-apocalyptic story about Charlie Brown and other Sunday funny characters in a rated R type toned book. And it sounded absolutely amazing. And now that I'm thumbing through it and seeing the artwork, it looks phenomenal. And it's a lot of pages. See if it has page count on it. Yeah, it's like 400 pages of comic. And it's trade paperback. I think it was originally released as a one shot, and then he went directly to trade from that. Least that's what my database says. I also picked up on DVD Tim Conway and Don Knotts' Private Eyes. This was one of my favorite movies as a kid. We had it recorded it off of HBO when I was in high school, I believe. And I watched it like a bunch of times. I absolutely loved it. I had known Don Knotts from Three's Company and the Apple Dumpling Gang, and I know Tim Conway from the Carol Burnett Show. And they made a good team in Apple Dumpling Gang and Private Eyes. And it's a murder mystery type clue type storyline. And it took a while to get here because I think what happened is when Tim Conway passed away, the demand for his movies went up. And it took a long time for this to ship. I think if I would have gotten it much earlier, it would have been easier to get. But that's something that's that I picked up. Also came in is from WoW Comics. It's the Mary Marvel Treasury Edition from Gwandoland Comics. And what they do is they take public domain comics and they reprint them. They don't remaster them, okay? So like if you're into like the DC and Marvel masterworks and archives and things that are remastered and beautifully put together, this might not be for you. But if you know like Captain Marvel and the Monster Man never be published, or you know that Miss Mary Marvel comics will never be published, this is a way to go. So what they do is they take original material that they have and they Xerox it. And in this case, the other ones that I have wasn't Gwandolin, but it was this one looks like it's well formed compared to the one that I had, which was in color, because in the color you see all the flaws, but this one you don't see as many flaws and everything looks pretty symmetrical when they made copies of this. But it looks amazing, and I have some original Mary Marvel comics in the terms of Mary Marvel. She had her own comic and WoW Comics, and this is featuring the WoW Comics and Marvel Family features with her in it. And it looks pretty amazing, and it's a chance to read some of these adventures that I would never have except for the two or three issues that I do have. And you do spend a dime on those if you want them in okay condition. You're looking at, $200 to $400 for something that's not key, and then some of the keys, you're looking in the thousands, so depending on the condition. So this is a good opportunity for me to get that material. The other thing that I can't take my eyes off of that I got is I claimed victory on Defiant Universe a long time ago and said, I don't have the card Plasm Number Zero, the binder with the cards in it that formed a comic book. But I had the reprint of Plasm Number Zero, which was printed later. I don't remember if it came out in previews or how it was distributed, but I did have that. And I finally pulled the trigger on buying this, and I'm more than pleased because I can't stop looking at it. I think it's amazing. And it was a lot of work because I found out when I opened it that the cards were put in backwards. And what I mean about that is the leaflet that they're in, the first page was on the other side of it, so I had to take out each card. And imagine this has been around since the 90s, so they kind of stick to the plastic. So it really took me about 45 minutes to reorganize, the 25 or 30 pages that were there and put them in the right order. And I confirmed that it was the right order because I called my co-host. We actually talked about it on Geek Brunch, and I said, is this on this page? What could I expect? Did you get the issue of Splatterball that's in the back? So you buy the binder and it comes with an exclusive comic book in the back called Splatterball about the game. And I didn't know that it was part of the binder. And I found out about the Splatterball as I was doing some research, so I ordered another copy of just the individual Splatterball itself. And some of them were pretty expensive on eBay, so I o ordered it overseas. I ordered a kind of beat up copy from Great Britain, and they sent me the copy. Matter of fact, it arrived today, and that was so I ordered something not knowing that this was part of the binder. And then in the back, it's got like a one card attachment, and that's the only part of my binder that it was missing. Is I was missing the card, and it was supposed to be a random card, I believe. We found out about it, and Bill has the card in there. I didn't, and I have a second print. He's got a first print, but I haven't had much luck getting a first print. There was like 15,000 of them made, from my understanding. If you wonder what I'm drinking, I'm drinking Original Stewart's Fountain Classics Origin Cream. I bought it from Target. I usually buy a four pack every weekend. Very refreshing drink. And then I posted something pretty cryptic during the week. I'm gonna tell you where that's coming from and what it means. I'll tell you right now that it doesn't mean anything in terms of my podcast output at the moment. It's still going to happen. It doesn't mean anything in terms of like how many books I read a week. It just means one thing, that I'll be buying less. I've been doing a lot of, for those of you that know me, I'm still fairly young. Well, young in terms of retirement. But I'm targeting to retire in 5 years, which is an aggressive retirement. If I wait till I'm 65, which most people do, I'm in really good shape. I'm in the top 10 percentile of retirees. In other words, according to the software that you can put in, at my age right now, I'm sitting like with enough assets and stuff like that to be in the top 10% of the retirement community, which is a good place to be. You don't want to be in the bottom 10, and you even if you're in the middle, you're probably all right. But I'm sitting really good. But I started sliding this thing over and adding risk in, and I put in more risk for health. Finding out that if you retire early, you're not going to be able to get Medicare, and you're probably be spending for your, if it's just you and your wife or yourself, you could be spending anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 a month on healthcare. So you got to budget that in. And it got me thinking, if I want to retire early, and stay retired, which I'd like to do. I want to factor in enough risk for health and be able to accommodate that. So when I slid that bar over and said I'm retiring at 50, 59 is the 59 and a half is the magic retirement age that you could retire early, 'cause with lack of penalty. So it's that first 5 years that you have penalty. So you have to plan for that penalty. And I want to start planning a little better. In order to do that, I realize like my engineering mind starts to kick in. Like, you know how much you're spending on comics a month? How much I could take that and put it into like a mutual fund? In addition to my 401k pension, IRAs, and everything else, I could just put it in there and just use it. Like, just let it accumulate in something moderate, Because maybe I could live off of that as I accumulate that. And I could budget enough money for the penalty years if until I hit that 59 and a half. And in reality, I'd like to work half time, so I don't know if that's gonna be possible. But people say that when you retire, you gotta keep active. That's what I plan on doing. I love to walk. If I could stay healthy enough, I'd walk many more miles than I do already now. I walk about 4 miles a day, and I would walk 12 if I could stay healthy enough. And I'm doing that with plantar fasciitis, so I have to probably get surgery at some point. Matter of fact, I got to get an MRI. You know how much an MRI costs with insurance on a high deductible? It's about a grand. It's a lot of money. So high deductible insurances suck because you essentially pay into an insurance, like out of your paycheck, just like you would when it was HMO or PPO or whatever they're called. You pay into it, and it doesn't really matter other than you get the benefit of the health provider negotiating the cost down. So, like if you go to the doctor for a treatment and it costs 170. Well, they might negotiate it down to 120, but you still have to pay that 120 out of your pocket until you reach that minimum. Once you hit that minimum, then the insurance company will start paying 80/20 until you hit the max, and then they'll pay 100%. But they know about mathematical probabilities. So if you study in college, probabilities and stuff. It's pretty fascinating. Like if I hadn't gone the way I did, I think I would have become a more an engineering accountant type thing. I think I think it would have been smarter. I would have already been retired. But the probabilities are that an average employee between the ages of I don't know 25 and let's say 60 or 55 are going to have X amount of medical costs, and then they move it around and they're like, wow, we're not going to have to pay anything until they hit this percentage. But anyway, this is probably boring you to tears. What does it have to do with comic books? Well, those of you that know me, I buy all of previews, and I think reality set in because I feel immortal most of the time. I feel that I'm gonna live forever. And once you start to realize your mortality, you start to think about, wow, like, I don't know. I have more material to read for 3 lifetimes, if you include all my collected editions and everything else. And I was like, holy moly. The exercise that I went through was, we have this one bedroom where I have trades, and I couldn't even walk in it. And for one reason, I was gonna take all my Epic collections and put them in a bookshelf in a storage unit so I could get to them very quickly. But in order to do that, I had to be able to walk in the room, find all the Epic collections, and then. So I spent hours in this room. I spent an entire day, and I made a lot of progress, but I swear to you, after about an hour and a half, I almost said, fuck this shit. It's too much. I can't take it anymore. But once I got past that, like, oh my God, this is so much material, I'm never going to get through it, I started to find things and I started to stack things in order and make sense out of it all and use these, they call them, trade boxes to put them in order. At least the trade boxes fit great for your standard trade paperback. You get it beyond that size and they don't work good, but the trade paperback boxes that I've only seen one brand made, and they have Marvel characters on them. They usually have Hulk and Thor. But these trades are not very high, but they're the size of, if you take a standard trade and put it on its side, it'll sit in the box, and then you can put them in order and then put them in the box, and then it has a protective lid, and then stack them X so high. And I did that with the Epic collections just so I could get them to the storage unit. But anyway, those are goddamn heavy. That's another thing that was right, making me think. And then I started to like think about like how much I'm actually reading. I've been doing more comic book maintenance on the weekends than actually reading comic books. If I spend 5 to 7 hours on a Sunday doing comic maintenance, I'm imp getting way more than I can, and that's like so much more I can spend reading. So what I'm gonna try to do, and you could ask Bill how long this happened, my co-host. I try to do this like, oh man, it was maybe 5 to 7 years ago, and it literally lasted 3 months. And the books that I didn't get, I recouped them and got them anyway. So I'm gonna try it again. And I'm recording this while Barb's not here because I don't want her to know that I'm doing this, because she'll be too happy and then she'll hold me to it. But I'm weak. But anyway, I am going to try this and see how it goes. And to tell you the truth, the Marvel Unlimited app and DC Universe on, apps are making this a little easier to swallow, and the $4.99 cover price is making it easier to swallow, because by the time I read a comic book, it's not one of the day it's released. I very seldom do I read. It's usually 3 months later, and Marvel's just 6 months later, and DC's a year later. But God, I have so much to read. And I don't think it'll affect me on Geek Brunch at all, because 80% is available on Comixology. I mean, there's some publishers that are not, and I have to be privy when we go over the previews, which ones are not available digitally, because then I could just if Bill says I want to cover, this comic book, well, I can make that happen. I can just get it digitally and go that way, and we'll see how it all pans out. And I really like the physical media, but it's becoming too, it's becoming so much. And when I have to process 200 comic books a week. That's how much I was getting. Okay, that's 100 new and 100 old. It's a lot of material. So I'm looking to cut back. I don't know how yet, and I don't know what's safe. I will say that DC is probably 100% safe, just because that's where I started as a kid, and that's where I'll end as an adult. So DC, I'll still probably be all in. Valiant, I won't stop just because I have everything. Marvel's the easiest to cut, but there's some titles that I just have full runs of, and I just don't want to. Like, I could tell you right now, Daredevil and Black Panther, they're pretty safe just because they're two of my favorite characters, and I have full runs. Cap is there, gonna be there too. Avengers, Defenders, Immortal, Hulk, whatever Hulk book there is, Amazing Spider-Man, just the main titles, if I just stick to those and print and then read everything else on Marvel Unlimited, we'll see how that goes. And then there's the Comixology Unlimited, which is an interesting thing. I'm not going to go there yet, but they do have quite the material out there. And spending $7.99 a month on an unlimited amount of comics versus the cost of two comics physically, it just doesn't add up. I mean, it plus the industry is heading that way. And I'm not trying to influence anybody. Do what you do that makes you happy. If I was still in my 40s, I would be still doing what I'm doing. I just feel that I'd like to retire early. I really do. And I see so many people that leave, sometimes retire early and come back to the workforce, but they do it on their own terms. In other words, some of it do it because they have to. In other words, there's a medical thing that happens or something happens they realize they didn't plan for, they have to go do that, or they're helping their kid through college, so they didn't plan on the college accounting for X amount of their money, and their kid stays there for 8 years instead of four. So, there's things that wreck early retirement. But, I have plans, and I want to retire comfortably, and I think I can. But, I know I wouldn't even be worried about this, but I know for a fact that when I retire, Barb wants to retire. Okay, so that means both of us will be retired. So that's why I'm gonna be a little more aggressive, or else if she kept continue to work, I don't have to be as aggressive. But that's the way things go. Plus, when you retire, you want to do stuff like. A lot of stuff is free, like in Colorado, that I could enjoy. I could go to Garden of the Gods every morning and just walk and enjoy nature. Come home, read some comics, watch some TV. We could drive out to places that we haven't hiked and go hiking there. There's just lots to do, and a lot of it's cost-free. But we also probably want to do one movie a week, just like we do now. We want to travel 2 to 3 times a year, so you got to factor that into your retirement. And all these tools, they allow you to factor in that stuff. So not it's this is not a downer. It's just me trying to embrace reality, to become normal again. Having said that, I am gonna go buy more comics at a convention soon, and I am going to keep buying Reed's collection, probably on a month to month or every other month I'm just cleaning out what he has of various titles, specifically Marvel, because that seems to be his passion. He does throw a lot of miscellaneous my way that I've been enjoying, or he finds out that I've liked something in the 90s, and he says, "Oh, I have some Razor. Do you want that? Oh, I have a few issues of Splatter. Do you want that?" And I'm like, "Hell yeah. Hell yeah, I do." But the other thing that I'm doing to cut back that was easy is, like, I even went to the comic shop, and you guys know I go to the comic shop every week, and even though I'm a DCBS customer and I get my DC comics there, but I also get a lot of cover Bs, like Catwoman, Batman, Detective, Justice League. I just automatically get the cover Bs. Hawkman, I've been buying both covers for, and that is an easy kill. That's just saying I'm not gonna do the cover Bs anymore. I just want to do cover As, and so I already started that analysis and impact stuff. What's really gonna be the deciding factors when I go into DCBS, like what I'm gonna do. I'd like to stay in the Ignition world or the Humanoids continuity universe. I'd like to stay in Lion Forge, and they're making it easy because they consolidate it into an event, and we'll see what happens with the merger. Aftershock is kind of lighting my fire lately, especially with those hardcover editions. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And I'll keep you updated, and it'll probably be like next week or the week after where I said, fuck it. I can't do it anymore. I'll just retire when I'm 65. I don't know. Retire with everybody else. But I don't. One thing I don't want to do is I work too goddamn hard in my life. I've been working since I was 15 continuously. Never with any kind of break. And I've worked too goddamn hard to retire and die. I don't want that to happen. I want to have some good years in retirement. And yeah, some people love their job. But you know what I love? I love comics. I love doing things with my wife. I love entertainment. And, that would be what I'd want to do. So we'll see how it all plans out, 'cause retirement's so goddamn expensive and ridiculous. And as time goes to the right, they make the eight. Oh, people are living longer. Let's make the retirement over here. And I mean, when you think about it, since I've been working since I was 15, and that doesn't include the jobs I had like in the summer when I was a kid mowing grasses and doing all that shit. Although that was cash driven, that wasn't any kind of like getting paid by check. Yeah, I want to retire and enjoy stuff and enjoy reading. And then even I have to sell this shit off at some point. That's a lot of crap. That's a lot of crap. 'Cause when you think about collections, as big as mine, you got about a 20% that's worth like a lot. And then you got an 80% that you'll have to like cover price or less, I mean, it's just the way reality works. And then a movie will come out, and you realize you sold something for much less. But that's the norm. The other thing I heard, so that's really what's happening. It's just looking at numbers has got me thinking. It's not going to change the podcast. Like I said, I could if I don't order something. I think the big hitters are going to be Image. I'm not quitting Savage Dragon or Spawn. That's for damn sure. And I don't know which ones there are go I'm gonna keep. Not sure yet. That first order form is going to be interesting because I could either do things through attrition because books end. Just like no new number ones, excluding DC and Valiant, of course. No new number ones. And then just keep finishing those collections and then let them naturally dissipate. Or you just say, hey, I like Ironheart. But you know what? In 6 months, that'll be on the app. I'll just read it on the app. In reality, I could do that with DC. With now that this unlimited service is, I mean, they have so much in there. I'm just amazed by what they have. And I've been reading a lot in the middle of the night just because I have my iPad there. And to tell you the truth, I love paper still. I've been p picking up a lot of crazy stuff. I think I already talked about some of the ones, the Aztec Ace that I picked up in the dollar bins and Dinosaur Rex and some funny books. The guy at the comic store has been putting in stuff that, like, I really want, like Twisted Tales from, I think it's from Eclipse or Pacific and other stuff. And I'm just like, wow, this is some cool shit. I want to get it. But, yeah, that's it. Nothing's happening. I am just not going to save the comic book industry like I normally do. I hope to cut the cost in half, of what I'm spending per month. And you might say, well, that's a lot. Well, you don't know how much I spend. Like some people, like Martin and Daryl and some people that really know me, they know how much I spend, and it's a lot. So by cutting it in half, I'm still probably buying more comics than 80% of the people. So I don't know, but it's still a big thing for me because my mind still hasn't wrapped itself around reality of it yet. Matter of fact, it disturbs me so much that I'm doing this. I think once I get past it, I'll be all right. But it disturbs me that I'll wake up at like 4 a.m. and start thinking about like, oh my God, why am I doing this? It's stressing me the fuck out. And you're like, why do you care so much about goddamn comic books? Because I love them and I want them all. So imagine having to cut back. The reality of it is I can't read all of it. That's the reality. That doesn't mean I have to live in reality in my little fantasy world of comic books. But I'm gonna try to be a little more realistic in things, and also cut back things that, like, I don't need to have every fucking channel on the DirecTV. Things like that. It'll give me more opportunity to focus on what I do have, like Netflix. There's like so many good programs on Netflix, and I only get to watch like three or four a year just because of my time constraints. And having to record everything else on the DVR and keep the DVR. So, I mean, it's just like a fight for entertainment against your lifetime. Like, you want to experience everything, but you fucking can't because your life is finite. I'm not the Highlander, whereas a week ago, I thought I was the Highlander. I realized that my neck could be cut off like the Highlander. There can be only one. But yeah, that's a lot of talk you probably don't want to hear. But that's where I'm coming from right now. And I hear lots of podcasters go through this all the time. They go through phase shifts. They go through all kinds of stuff. Why I'm doing it makes 100% It makes it like a goal that I really want to achieve. And it makes sense. But when you love something so much, it doesn't make you happy about it until Chris Campbell's a really good friend of mine. And he always would tell me, like this is when I'd go to his house and see his collection. He has a great collection, but it's very fixated. It's very clean. It's Batman, Valiant, and that's where his focus is in his art and stuff. And he would always tell me, he'd say, "Mike, less is more." And we'll see if that's true or not. But that term has always fascinated with me. In other words, if you can have less, but less quantity, but real focus, then it's more in terms of your time. For me, it's a little hard because I can't do like he does with Batman or Valiant because my mind wanders and I want to experience all of it. So one m mode I want to read Razor, the next mode I want to read Zorro, and then I want to read Solar Man of the Atom, and then I want to read Superman, and then I want to read Hawkman, and then I want to read Tales of Suspense. It just jumps all over the map, so it's a little harder for me to stay focused. But that's what's going on. And we'll see how I do. Let's see if I last like 3 weeks like I did last time, or if I can overcome this. And I was talking to Bob Bretall, who has the Guinness Book of World Records, and he made some good points. He said one of the things that he just did is, as lovely as collected editions are, he wouldn't double dip. And he said, if I had them in singles, that would save a lot of money. But God dang, I love the omnibus. It is such a beautiful thing. In terms of investment, too, it's probably better than the individual comics in most cases. But I have never been the one to, like, when I get cover Bs, I get them for me. I don't get them to turn a profit or sell all the cover Bs together. If I was able to depart with them, then this wouldn't be so hard because then I'd like read it and then I'd sell it and then read it and then sell it. And I have friends that do that, like Aaron Myers sells his, well, he does, I don't know how he works, but it's too hard to assess how his collection works because he wants like one of each and then he'll sell the rest of it. But I think he parts with stuff that he knows he can turn for a profit to buy more books that he can turn more profit, and then he doesn't end up paying for much. It's all like a self-containing hobby that he can buy things with by trading up. Like I saw recently, he got the first appearance of the Legion of Superheroes. Was pretty amazing. One thing that was really cool though is I have like these calendars at work. Plus I have the Marvel toys. But there's a guy there, really smart guy. He bought me a calendar of comic facts. He bought a lot of people calendars. I don't know. He's just a nice guy. But he came in every month when I flip the calendar. I have all these DC calendars. I have six of them. One of them is Superman, Supergirl, Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, and I can't remember what the other one is. Batman. But I flipped over the calendar this week, and he's like, "Oh my God, you have the Legion of Superheroes." And he was telling me that he used to love the Legion of Superheroes. And he's like, "I even think I had this issue at one time." And he came in there and, he started chatting. And he's never done that before, but this cover just struck him. He came in and he was like, "Oh my God, I remember all the boys and the girls and the lads and the lasses, and he just like he's mesmerized with it. And sure enough, he knew a lot of the characters. This was I can't remember if it was the wedding of Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl on the cover. And Brainiac, I think it's Brain, no, Superboy is thinking in a thought bubble. And he's like, well, now that they're married, we have to kick him out of the Legion. And it had like other married couples like Ultra Boy and Phantom Girl, and I can't remember the other two. But it was like it's interesting because like that happens in the workforce, you know, they usually like if you're in the same department, they don't want husband and wife to be working together because of after work spouts and stuff like that. They don't want that in, you know, the workplace, so they try to keep them on different projects and such. Something like the, you know, Legion of Superheroes, but it's pretty amazing cover. And so yeah, I just wanted to let you know all that's going on. Got Heroes Con coming up. Really gonna enjoy that because Bill is going. I didn't think he was gonna make it, but he pulled off another Father's Day. He says, you know, for Father's Day, I want to be around comics and my friends, and they let him. So I always have a blast with Bill because I could talk to him 24/7, and it's just fluent. That's why our podcasts are so goddamn long because we lose track of time. But yeah, I'm off the cuff all the time. I even when I was in the bedroom, I was looking at like Master Kung Fu, and I was like, "Oh my Lord, I have five fucking omnibuses that are about 2 feet tall to get through to read." And that's an interesting omnibus because I have read zero Master of Kung Fu other than some of the recent Shang-Chi stuff that came much later. I don't have there might be one or two comics that I read off the shelf, and if he appeared in another comic book, I would read him, but I didn't read the magazines, and the run had a pretty long run, and looking forward to that to eventually get into because I've never experienced it before. I'm still trying to finish my Venom omnibus, the first one, and jump into the second one. I still have a Conan Epic sitting by my table that I'm about three-fourths of the way through. But yeah, I got a lot of freaking shit to read. I really do, and I want to read more. And there's times where I want to read things again, you know? I'm rereading Manhunter again, and I am loving every moment of it. And then the other thing that I started thinking about is the trends. Lately, my trend has been reading comics that are older. If you listen to this podcast, you'll see a lot of the five out of fives were stuff that I've already read or something that's old. And I don't know why that is. So this could be a more of redirection of something new into old, getting more older material instead of new material. But anyway, the goal is to, you know, sort of reduce it in half. If I can reduce that intake in half and take that other half of the money and not and just deposit it, you know, have it ha have an have it grow for me some interest or something. That'll be I'm already maxed out on like what I can do on the IRAs and the without getting penalties and 401ks and all that mess. But which means that if I put it into a mutual fund or some sort of thing, I'll have to pay taxes on the interest. But whereas, you know, your 401k is pretty much protected up to a certain point. So yeah, there's that. But if I could have money work for me, you know, grow a little bit, even if it's small over the course of 10 years, it just gives me more reason to if I can learn off. My uncle retired from Verizon. He lived an interesting life, but he's been pretty frugal. But well, I can't say that. You know, I have comics. He has cars. He had like 10 cars at one point in time. He just loves like muscle cars, like Chevelles and Corvettes and all that crap. And but he retired fairly early, and he told me a couple of things. He says, "Mike, have cash, like have some of it just available, not just all in investments." And he said, if you can plan it well enough, you live off the interest." And that's what he's doing before he even taps into stuff, is he's living off the profits of some of his investments. And it's pretty good for him. And he's, as he got older, he's got the health care, and his wife has health care, and it gets more and more goddamn expensive. 'Cause things start to fall apart. But I'll be back in a few minutes and talk about at least 1 week's worth of weekly reads, because I don't want to fall too far behind, but I am sort of caught up. I might do 2 weeks worth. So I'll be right back in a few minutes. Well, I'm back already, and we're going to talk about 2 weeks worth of comics. And we'll start with April 29th through May 3rd. And again, the ratings are 5, I love it. 4, I really like it. 3, I like it. 2, I did not like it. 1, I hated it. There were a total of 17 comics that week, which seems to be like my ballpark lately, that I've been doing a lot of comic book maintenance, a lot of yard work, a lot of stuff, a lot of work. It seems like I'm reading about 20 comics, where I should be around 50 at least, and hasn't been there. But maybe now that I'm changing focus a little bit, it'll be climbing. Let's see if that trend happens. So this was a week that I was reading for DC Spotlight, another podcast I do. Check that out, where me and Kyle talk about comics. We do talk about retro comics there as well. I was reading Justice League that week. I read Justice League 16 th through 22 in annual number 1. All of the issues were a 4 out of 5, except number 17, which was a 5 out of 5. I just loved it. So, and this included annual number 1, but I'll give you the synopsis. John learns a lot from the Martian on Thanagar. So there's a Martian on Thanagar, and there's like a underground fortress where they store. It's like PO boxes of very valuable stuff on Thanagar, and there's a Martian down hunter there, and Martian Manhunter wants to rescue her. I think it's a female. And the Green Lantern Corps go to break up the break-in of the vault. This like vault-like subs, you know. They try to do their police stuff, and the Corps sides with John eventually. And they defeat Shayera, which is on Thanagar. Starman and the Justice League show up, and Will Payton explains how the Totality separated Kendra and Shayera. You know, they were really one person, but now they're separated because of the Totality. And again, the Hawkman mythos gets more convoluted, but it's still fantastic. They decide to leave Shayera in charge of on Thanagar. He joins Shira and Kendra in while keeping I'm losing track of what I was. He rejoined Shara into Kendra. Oh, I wrote that really funny. But Will Payton rejoined Shara and Kendra into one being, sort of, while keeping Shara her own person. I know that sounds convoluted, but now Kendra has all of the memories and such of Shara, and now kind of Shara is her own person. Justice League is off to fix the Source Wall. In the annual, Starman and Hawkgirl work to rejoin the Source Wall when interrupted by the Legion of Doom, and they free Perpetua, who turns out to be their main threat. It looks dire until the Justice League learn about Minx, the Imp, and the Sixth Dimension. Superman goes and then comes back to the JLA as an aged Superman, but is really the World Forger. It looks like the perfect future and guarantees victory over the Legion of Doom, but they leave and are back in an altered history with Lois leading space soldiers. Gives a great story about Perpetua and her son's Monitor, Anti-Monitor, and World Forger. So you can see a lot of those came from Crisis Monitor and Anti-Monitor. World Forger came later. In the future, Martian Manhunter and Kendra are married, and Dick Grayson is Batman, because it shows a glimpse into the future. The 5 out of 5 is Justice League 17, which I'll just cover even though out of order. Martian Manhunter forms a bond on Mars to stop Perpetua. John tells Lex that they knew each other as kids and were best friends. So here's a big retcon. Lex saved young John because his father was going to kill John Jones. And they forgot about each other because they were mind wiped. So that's a fascinating. I just loved it. Plus, those of you that know me, I've been really big on Martian Manhunter lately. And then get into a Kickstarter. It's 4 out of 5. Was Merrick the Elephant Man. It's a fictional tale of Merrick. As he ages, he gets more deformed and joins a freak show of sorts, only to have it destroyed by the lead ringmaster. He then goes to live in a hospital in London and goes out on adventures as a vigilante. The doctor is part of a secret organization that wants to weaponize his skin for soldiers and has a run-in with Arthur Conan Doyle. And Spring Hill Jack. Interesting, because he shows up in Arthur Conan Doyle shows up in the Houdini books too. But it was a fascinating comic. I had gotten 1 through 5 as a trade, and then 6, 7, and 8 in singles, and I still have to read 7 and 8. But it's been a really, it makes me want to watch Elephant Man again, because this takes a lot of the true story stuff and puts it into a fictional tale, which makes it really interesting for me. We then have a 4 out of 5 Sugar Volume 1. John Marion is well-to-do and finds out his wife has been cheating on him for a long time. He still loves her, but she wants a divorce. Julie is a college student and is having a rough time financially because she has to work 3 jobs and is trying to send money to her mom and sister. They meet. John offers her money to help her out, and she feels like a whore, so she gets pissed off. She realizes she needs the money, so she takes it. They hook up every weekend, and he pays her $3,000 a month. Then his wife shows back up, complicates matters, and he takes her back. But one day she's in the shower and is getting texts from 2 guys while she's in the shower, and he sees her phone buzzing and is like, and they're basically saying, we want to fuck you, at the same time, and all this, like, you're going to swallow this, and it's really nasty. And he's there. So, she gets out of the shower. And he basically says, let's go off together this weekend. Let's do something. And she's like, I can't. I got plans. I got to do this. And he's like, screw that. You nasty whore. And Julia and him had a really ugly separation. But he wants to make it right. But before that, she is on a date getting drunk and just can't go with this guy. She can't see another guy. She's fixated on John. So she goes out in the rain and runs into John, and they hit it off again, and they were very likable characters. And this is volume one. I don't know where they're gonna go, because it kind of ended there, and it ended kind of a good ending, actually. But we'll see if that there's a volume two of that. The five out of fives, we got Morbius number one. This was my reading digitally on the app at night. Been reading a lot of Spirits of Vengeance and Midnight Suns books. Ghost Rider and Johnny are going after Morbius, and he lost control and is killing people. His girlfriend's out to help him, but his scientist buddy is out to kill him for money. Lilith has one of her offspring put something into a potion that helps him turn back into human form. He has a short run-in with Spidey. That was a really enjoyable issue. Vantage Press release review number six. This is that Speculator magazine, and this one had articles on the fall of Triumphant, how they went out of business. Wizard screw up with the Image X month. That's where you had Eric Larson doing somebody else's book, Todd McFarlane doing Cyber Force. They were all doing each other's books. That was X month. And they were talking about how Wizard screwed that up and they had the names wrong. So they were talking about the speculation on this book would have a lower printed runage because it was like a Valentino book, but Todd McFarlane was doing it. So, they were talking about that. There was also a article on a new Filipino artist called Asir, and I ended up buying this on my comic shop because I thought it was amazing. The article turned me on to that. Very low print runs. They talked about Disney Comics and Malibu's Ultra Force number two, which had the 75-25 ratio on the cover. We got so that wraps up the five out of fives. So the five out of fives for that week were Morbius number one, Vantage Press release review, and Justice League number 17. We then get into the week of May 4th through May 11th, 2019. We had a total of 16 comics, 7 DC, 3 continuity, and 6 Antarctic Press. We had the three out of fives. We had Necromancer 1 through 4, which we talked about in grave detail on Geek Brunch, so check that out. A woman with multiple personality disorders killed her father and mother because she was getting raped as a child. She's released from a hospital, and then it just goes off on a crazy train. Me and Bill had to try to work together to try to decipher what happened in the last two issues. The four out of five start with Crazy Man 1 through 3. I really enjoyed this. This is from Continuity, Neil Adams's company. Crazy Man starts working for a father and daughter to take down another secret organization. Crazy Man goes into crazy mode, and even bullets can't stop him. The organization is trying to figure out how to weaponize Crazy Man. When crazy, he might even take out his own team, and he does poke out his partner's eye, which is the daughter. And they replaced it with a super bionic eye. I really enjoyed this. I have a full run now of all the volumes of Crazy Man, and I really want to complete all the continuity books at some point. We have Birds of Prey 3 and 4. Was reading this for DC Spotlight. Check that out. Penguin, White Canary, and Savant work to take out the Birds of Prey, but are defeated. Strange scene where Penguin is knocked out and dreaming, and the Birds of Prey are at his beck and call, and he's like making out with Huntress or something like that. Savant squares off with Barbara and tries to kill himself, but Barbara actually saves his life. We then have Dr. Faustus number 1 and 2 from Anarchy Press. The main female lead's boyfriend breaks up with her because she refuses to have intercourse with him, which is really weird. I think she has like this personality where she has trouble having orgasms and the whole sexual thing is awkward, which is a real condition. She can't deal with it, so she contemplates suicide, but goes to a bar instead and witnesses one of her students. A former student of hers try to sell his soul to the devil for $50. It's not really a devil. At least she doesn't believe it's a devil. It's a regular-looking guy. But she follows the student out of the bar because he took the deal and took the $50, and his body is taken by a demon. And she sees the guy that made him sign the papers and then follows him and kills him. So she disposes the body at her college, using chemicals and all this stuff and the murder weapon, and then goes to his apartment and conjures up a demon that she eventually has sex with, and then she dies. And but she did have her orgasm with the demon. Very interesting story. It sounds nasty, but it's really not nasty. It's really well done. The art is really superb. I enjoyed it. Green Lantern 74 and 75. I read these because I found out this was the next logical path from the Adam Strange DC mini, and this continues the Adam Strange story from above as Ran is attacked by Graven, the son of Darkseid. Donna Troy goes to Earth to seek help and runs into Kyle, who goes to help even though it's kind of awkward because they have their previous relationship and breakup. The Darkstars are getting defeated until Donna and Kyle, along with Adam Strange, work to defeat Graven, who was abandoned as a child by Darkseid and now wants to show his father by conquering planets and eventually killing Darkseid. It briefly mentions that Adam is raising his daughter alone, and there is no mention of the Earth Doctor, and those comments will relate to the story above. 5 out of 5, those Green Lanterns. 5 out of 5, the Adam Strange 1 through 3. I love this. Alana's pregnant, and Adam has to go back to Earth and make his final goodbyes as Sardath invented a mega Zeta beam that will allow him to stay on Ran before it would wear out and he'd have to go back to Earth. There is a civil war uprising on Ran while Adam is gone. Basically, people are tired of not doing anything and having Sardath and science controlling everything. They want to work and do things. So there's a civil war on Earth. Adam says goodbye to his father and sister. His sister is pissed off because he always vanishes when he is needed. Adam's father passes, and he almost has an affair with a doctor taking care of his dad. He goes back to Ran and runs into his mother, who he thought was dead. It turns out she was exiled by Sardath, and it's not his mother. I typed it wrong. He goes back to Ran and runs into Alana's mother, who was thought to be dead. Alana dies during childbirth, so this is Adam Strange's wife. Was delivering the kid and died. The doctor helped deliver it. The doctor from Earth follows the Zeta beam back to Ran in search for Adam because she kind of loves him. She wants to know where he's going and finds out his notes in the Zeta beam. She goes there. She delivers the baby, but Alana dies during childbirth. Adam tries to deal with being a father, but he is so guilt-driven to do it. The doctor guilt gives him guilt to actually do it. He wants to just leave. One thing to note is Sardath really wants the baby because no Ranians have been able to conceive for a while until Adam arrived and got his daughter pregnant. So there's some really interesting concepts with that story that just blew my mind. The top books that week were 5 out of 5s, Green Lantern 74 and 75, which were Kyle stories. And Adam Strange 1 through 3, all of those stories had Adam Strange in it, so it was a pretty good week for reading Adam Strange. That's all I'm gonna do. I want to thank you for listening. You wanna do me a solid, when you listen to this podcast. This would be really important to me if you do it. Is if I don't ask for much, but if you're on Twitter and you could go on Twitter and follow Derek Coward, who's at Derek Coward. It's DereckCoward. And if you tweet him and say at Derek Coward, just say thank you for allowing Geek Brunch and the Geek Brunch podcast and DC Noise podcast to be on your network. I would be very thankful if you do that. And tag me on it at Mike Myers Brunch. If you get a chance, please do that. You can reach me on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. You can reach me on email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can reach me on the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com. And on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. Follow all the episode threads there. I want to thank you for listening. I'm going to go feed Harley. And I'll keep you apprised on how that savings thing goes with my comic reduction. So we'll see how that goes. So I'll talk to you soon. And I'll see ya. Bye.